remembering Jimmy Carter, America's 39th president.
I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends, and I've had an exciting and adventurous and gratifying existence.
How his legacy extended far beyond serving only one term.
I think it's going to be very difficult for any president in the future to be able to live up to this benchmark that Jimmy Carter has set for how a president engages after they leave the White House. I mean, he lived for so long after he left the White House and did so much.
Today is Monday, December 30th, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London. Scott has the day off.
There can be no nobler nor more ambitious task for America to undertake on this day of a new beginning than to help shape a just and peaceful world.
Former President Jimmy Carter served only one term in the White House, but carried a message forward in deeds and action, as conveyed in his 2018 commencement speech at Liberty University.
We're the ones to decide, do I hate or am I filled with love? We're the ones who decide, do I think only about myself or do I care for others?
From former farmer to a U.S. president who brokered peace between Israel and Egypt, to later winning a Nobel Peace Prize for his global humanitarian work, AP correspondent Sagar Magani looks at Jimmy Carter's remarkable life.
Jimmy Carter spent just 4 years in the White House, but said he had no regrets.
I, Jimmy Carter, do solemnly swear.
Carter was one of just 10 incumbent presidents to lose a re-election bid. He was only 56 years old.
I have been blessed by graduating from the White House at an early age.
Carter had already been a peanut farmer, a Navy officer, a governor, and later Nobel Peace Laureate, freelance diplomat, home builder.
I've had an exciting and adventurous and gratifying existence.
He called it a wonderful life.
History should remember him as having led an epic American life.
Biographer Jonathan Alter says it was an extraordinary life.
He will likely go down as one of the most misunderstood and underestimated figures in American history.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
The longest-lived American president died Sunday at his home in the small town of Plains, Georgia. Plains resident Suzanne Taylor told local TV station WTVM that she often attended Sunday school while Jimmy Carter was there.
He often reiterated that everybody has the same value. Everybody loves their children as much as he does. Everybody is as smart as he is. Everybody has the same value. And so in Plains, he was Citizen Jimmy Carter. And when it was his turn to cut the lawn at the church, he cut the lawn at the church. And I think that citizen is going to be very much missed here.
And for 17 years, VOA correspondent Kane Farabaugh has covered the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter, developing a close relationship with America's 39th president. Kane joins us now to share his personal reflections about the late world leader and influential humanitarian.
Jimmy Carter has been more than just a former president. We hear about presidents, one-term presidents, we forget them. But this person had a big impact in the U.S., around the world, and for you personally. Can you just talk a little bit about how you began getting to know him and covering him as a reporter?
Yeah, so I was a New York correspondent for Voice of America in 2005 and 2006, and President Carter was going on an international book tour to promote his book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. And it was suggested that we try to reach out to President Carter to see if he'd be willing to come to our Voice of America Bureau in New York to do an interview. And I immediately got a response back, and they said that he wouldn't be available to do the interview in New York, but could we go to Chicago and do the interview? And so also at the time, they were filming this documentary called Man from Plains. The Oscar-winning actor Jonathan Demme was doing a documentary about Jimmy Carter and his very active and busy life during that time. So my first interview with Jimmy Carter and my first time interviewing a former president was also in the maelstrom of doing this documentary that was being filmed also. And it was quite a, you know, busy, active time. But we sat down and we talked for about 20 minutes. And before I did this interview with him, though, I had to go and, well, I didn't have to, but I decided I wanted to read as many of Carter's books as I could to have some background and understanding about him so that when I sat down to do the interview, I was well informed so I could have a conversation rather than have to look at notes and look at questions. And my interview with him, I didn't really look at my notes. I just sat down and almost for half an hour just engaged and talked with him about the issues of the moment and the issues that were important to him. And I don't know, we never really talked about it in depth, but I think he might have been a little bit impressed with the fact that I didn't have to refer to the notes and we were able to have a conversation, and maybe he appreciated that. And that led to me doing almost 20, well, more than 20 more interviews with him over the course of two decades.
He came into the presidency following a tumultuous time, following Gerald Ford, who took over for Richard Nixon, who wasn't engulfed in the Watergate scandal and resigned, which is also, you know, a pretty historic time in the country. And he seemed to be able to shift the conversation and to sort of take the nation in a different direction. It was sort of a pivotal moment. Do you agree with that?
Well, actually, the last interview I did with Jimmy Carter was a personal one on background for a book that he was encouraging me to write about his relationship with his predecessor and his rival for the White House, Republican President Gerald Ford. And historians reflect on the relationship between Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter as the closest of any two U.S. presidents in history, even closer than Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. And part of the reason for that was because Jimmy Carter, in the very first moments he was president of the United States, in the opening sentences of his inaugural address, he used that platform to talk about his predecessor, Gerald Ford, and to thank Gerald Ford for all Gerald Ford did to heal the nation in the wake of Watergate. And in a way, Gerald Ford's presidency, for short as it was, really enabled Jimmy Carter to reset the presidency in the wake of Watergate and charge forward. And he was also the president elected to reestablish, I guess, trust and faith in the federal government and in the presidency. And, you know, this guy who was this honest, straight-talking, truthful peanut farmer from Plains, Georgia, seemed like he was the antidote to the problems that Americans had perceived emanating from Washington up to that point. And Jimmy Carter did lead an honest presidency. And in many ways, it was also what ultimately led to his defeat, was his transparency, his honesty with the American public, you know, everything from, you know, talking about energy crisis concerns to, you know, the way he was handling the Iran hostage crisis. I mean, you know, in many ways, because Jimmy Carter was transparent and honest with the American public, and because of the mood of the American public, given everything that was happening, you know, between inflation and concerns abroad, it all led to his defeat. But Jimmy Carter didn't waver from his commitment to making sure that he was honest with the American public. And I think that is something that he also recognized in his predecessor Gerald Ford. And these two men on the opposite ends of the political spectrum who fought in a very tough fight for the presidency in 1976 both became close friends after they both left the White House after serving one terms, and became, they hoped, the example of what it could mean to be political rivals but personal friends. And it was something, especially after the 2016 and 2020 elections, that President Carter identified as something that he'd like people to remember. You know, you can be political rivals and still be friends. You can be on opposite ends of the political spectrum and not be enemies. And, you know, I think President Carter really understood the concerns, the brewing concerns over the polarization in the United States, and perhaps wanted to use his example with Gerald Ford as maybe the antidote to that.
And he didn't, for a one-term president, it's not like he faded away from the public eye and the world eye. In fact, it would almost seem like he became larger in some ways with all of his humanitarian work that he just turned to.
Yeah, well, I joked with him in one of the interviews we did, actually, in the New York studios in 2007. I said, you know, leaving the White House seems to be the best thing that could have happened to you. And he laughed at me and he said, well, I didn't think so at the time, but it is the greatest thing that could have happened to him, because it enabled him in some ways to be freer to pursue the things that he was passionate about while he was president without being encumbered by having to deal with all of the other issues that mount on a president while they're in the Oval Office. The high water mark of his presidency was negotiating the Camp David peace accords, and he was able to understand that and use his post-presidential library and museum, which became the Carter Center, to be the platform for him to focus on fostering peace and using it as a place where people could come and resolve disputes and promoting peace and democracy, and then also focusing on global health concerns, neglected tropical diseases. And so President Carter was able to use his platform as a former president to do well, not just for Americans, but for the world. And he wanted to make sure that that would be the legacy that he left, one that was promoting peace, human rights, and global health. And the only way he could have done that was outside the White House, not in it. And I think I might have referenced this before, but there's a Methodist credo: do as much as you can for as many as you can for as long as you can. And even though Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter were Baptists, you know, they lived by that credo. It was something that the author Jonathan Alter and I have talked about, and Jonathan Alter, who wrote a book about Jimmy Carter called His Very Best. You know, that Methodist credo really does sort of define how they both lived their lives after they left the White House. And I think it's going to be very difficult for any president in the future to be able to live up to this benchmark that Jimmy Carter has set for how a president engages after they leave the White House. I mean, he lived for so long after he left the White House and did so much that it might be nearly impossible for any president in the future to be able to match that.
What was he like on a personal level? I know you got to know him pretty well.
He was as genuine and honest in person and in private as he was in public. He was a really huge baseball fan, and I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. He was an Atlanta Braves fan. And he used to rib me over the Braves defeating the Pirates to go on to the NLCS back in the 1990s, which was the last time the Pirates ever became a postseason baseball team with any kind of prominence. But he loved his Atlanta Braves. We talked a lot about baseball, but he was genuine. He was definitely interested in your perspective on things as much as you might be interested in asking him questions and talking to him. And I'll share a moment with you that sticks out in my mind. After he was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2015, I was in Plains, Georgia, visiting. I was helped. There was just a tremendous amount of interest in going to Sunday school and seeing him teach Sunday school lessons. And so I was invited to come to do some of the after church activities in the back area of the church. And there was a potluck supper, and Jimmy Carter was sitting at a table by himself, actually. And there was nobody sitting by him. And, you know, I was looking at him, and I kind of didn't know, should I go sit next to Jimmy Carter, or should I let somebody else? I mean, I have the ability to talk and interview him all the time. I should probably, you know, I don't want to. So I was going to go sit somewhere else. And he looked at me and he saw me avoiding him almost. And he says, "Kane, come over here and sit down." And I was sort of taken aback by him. So I did. And I went and I sat with him. And I think that Jimmy Carter, especially in maybe that moment, wanted a familiar face and a comfortable peer to sit with and talk to in that moment. And we chatted about really nothing in particular that would have any significance or weight. I think it was just maybe about the news of the moment. And but it was great. We sat for 20, 25 minutes, had lunch together, and it was almost like it was like having friends lunch with a friend. And that was Jimmy Carter. I think he had the ability to make you feel like you were important and in his orbit, no matter your station in life. And I also think he was perhaps the most accessible president to any American. I mean, I don't know that any other former president wrote as many books, traveled as extensively, and did book signings and public speaking engagements and meet and greets with people. And it might have even been exhausting for a man in his 80s and early 90s to continue that kind of a schedule. But he was accessible. He was there. He would sign a book for anybody who wanted a book signed that was reading his books. You know, literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans went to a book signing that Jimmy Carter hosted somewhere in the United States. And we wrote over 35 books. And, you know, they were able to meet him in person by doing that. I mean, it was just, I guess the takeaway from that is that he was incredibly genuine, very accessible, and as personable and honest privately as he was publicly. And I think that when you see Jimmy Carter on television and you see anything of him on TV, I mean, he was in real life as you would see him in the way that he's been characterized in documentaries, newspaper articles. He was a true American.
When was the last time you had a chance to sit down with him or speak to him or see him?
It was that interview to talk about his relationship with Gerald Ford in October of 2019. I was invited to come down to the Carter Center and talk with him in his office at the Carter Center with both he and Rosalynn Carter. And the three of us sat and we talked for about an hour and a half. of just about, you know, his relationship with Gerald Ford. And it was important to him. He wanted to get this information out there. He wanted to get it down. He wanted somebody to talk to about it. And that was the last time we did an interview. However, I did visit with him several times after that. We went down to Plains, Georgia in January of 2020, right before the global coronavirus pandemic. And we went to Plains and we were there for Sunday school, and we were able to see and visit with President and Mrs. Carter. And then I was able to attend their 75th wedding anniversary in July of 2021 in Plains, Georgia. And that is actually the last time that I was able to meet and talk with and interact with President Carter and Mrs. Carter in person.
What do you think he would want the lessons that he has instilled by his actions to convey?
I think the thing is that Jimmy Carter would want Americans to know that truthfulness and honesty are important virtues that have a place in public discourse and have a place in American life. And he used his life as an example of that. And I think that he would want anyone to understand that these are important virtues that we should all hold dear and we should adhere to.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about your very personal experience and years of working with and getting to know the former president.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's just an honor to be able to share these experiences with others and to talk about them.
VOA correspondent Kane Farabaugh. Since word of his passing, leaders from across the U.S. and around the world have been paying tribute.
Jimmy Carter lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds. Just look at his life, his life's work. He worked to eradicate disease, not just at home, but around the world. He forged peace, advanced civil rights, human rights, promoted free and fair elections around the world. He built housing and homeless for the homeless with his own hands. And his compassion and moral clarity lifted people up and changed lives and saved lives all over the globe.
President Joe Biden has directed that January 9th will be a national day of mourning throughout the U.S. Biden will eulogize Carter at a state funeral at the Washington National Cathedral following 8 days of ceremonies in Georgia and in Washington. You've been listening to The Issue from The Voice of America. On behalf of Scott Walterman and all of us here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, just check out our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.